Welcome, welcome on a dreary, rainy day here in good old Richmond. This is Frank, glad to be back in studio with my old buddy Hubba, who's back from his long voyage out west. And also tonight we've got Darren Franta back with us, helping as a new contributor. Tough game on Saturday. There's no other way to look at it. The Cavaliers did show signs of life early, taking a 10-0 lead, and they held it for like almost 2 hours, it seemed like. And then, you know, things started to go awry. And I'm not going to beat them up over it. They just don't know how to win yet. And I think that's also true of the coaching staff. I think there was confusion in my newsletter. I joked that it was the curse of Mike London and the poor clock management and the poor use of timeouts, or not using timeouts, or when to use a timeout, or whoever heard of calling a run at the 9-yard line when you have no timeouts left.
Well, I don't think it was a 9-yard line, but still interesting call. But Darren, I guess, is going to tell our listeners how to follow the show. Darren?
That's right, Jim. If you want to get a hold of our host, Frank and Jim, you can reach us on the air here at 804-345-0910, streaming live on FoxSportsRichmond.com, and, of course, our sponsor, TheSaber.com. Download the free iHeartRadio app and listen on your smartphone, and also search for us under Who's Talking on Facebook.
A couple of terrific football guests tonight, Frank, from the 1980s.
Two of our faves. They've pretty much appeared on every season of Who's Talking. We've got Antonio Rice coming up shortly. Antonio was a terrific running back and a co-captain. Played from 82 to 86. We believe he was injured in 1985. Very solid running back with all the skills. He could run, he could catch, and he was a terrific blocker. If other teams blitzed, Antonio Rice would put them on their back. They just don't make many guys that knew their assignment any better than Antonio. Then later in the show, Hubba, we have
A sponsor, Charles McDaniel from Hildreth Transfer, but Charles was a sensational linebacker in his day. He led the team in tackles three years during his playing career. Obviously, Antonio and Charles were both on that first Peach Bowl team back in 1984, but right now we got Antonio joining us on the phone.
Antonio, welcome to Who's Talking.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, as you might imagine, I almost jumped off the ledge last night, but I talked myself off. I said, you know, it's a new season. It's a new coaching staff. There's new uniforms, new numbers on the sides of helmets. There's new everything. So, Antonio.
Unfortunately, the same results, though.
And it's the same team.
It did look like some of the same nonsense. But, Antonio, tell us, you being a former running back, what did you like about Albert Reed and Taquan Mizell, and where should the optimism be, and what does the future look like?
Well, you know, I really like the fact that you know, we're able to, you know, pound and ground it. You know, we can run the football. I think that, you know, within the air raid offense, a solid, effective running game can only help you. It can only help you. And so I got to tell you, we have a stable of backs back there. We got a lot of folks there who I like to say who can tote the rock, from, you know, Reed to Mizell to Ham. Got Zacchaeus can even, you know, you can put him back in there. So for me, I think the future is incredibly bright with that kind of talent.
Well, they've certainly got some depth there. You didn't mention Jordan Ellis, and the coaches like him. He's a little bit thicker, 5'11", 220, and maybe the youngest of these backs. But talk about that sequence late in the game. I know there were lots of nice running plays throughout the game, and Reed seems to be really following his blockers better than ever. Smoke is just terrific in space. But at the end of the game, talk about what you noticed. What went right? What didn't go right? And then what should have happened that didn't happen?
You know, that was the thing that took me to the ledge. She's trying to figure that whole piece out in regards to, you know, well, I'll tell you what, my wife said it best. She goes, I've seen this team before. You know, all of it's new, but I've seen this particular team before. And so let's kind of focus on some of the things that went right and late is the fact that, again, we were able to move the ball and we were able to, you know, get the first downs. And it looked like our offensive line was dominating their big defensive line. And I love the push that we were getting. And so then you go back, and let me just throw a little sprinkle on the defensive side. You know, for the first time in 3 weeks, we were able to get off the field. You know, they really look good. And so, and then as we're going down, trying to make something happen, you know, it always comes down to the three phases, fellas. We always talk about this on our show. You know, if you win the offense and you win the defense and you lose the special teams, you know, the odds of you winning the game, you know, diminish a little bit. You got to win all three phases. And so just my thoughts, just watching the kids play, you know, them, you know, I almost think that they do better when they're behind versus trying to keep a lead, because it almost kind of felt like, hey, we're playing not to lose. They lost a little bit of their aggressiveness, I thought, a little bit. And then I thought it was just a tremendous amount of pressure to put on a kid who had never put on a football uniform before in regards to kicking a game-tying field goal.
However, I would say the coaching staff could have thrown a couple passes in the end zone, still had plenty of time left, and then maybe try to run a play when they're off guard, and then whatever. But at worst, make sure there's plenty of time on the clock and get him out there and set up and let him breathe. He didn't even finish his little sidesteps before the ball was snapped.
That's exactly right. And so, and I believe they weren't even sure they were going to kick it. They thought maybe they might even going to be going for it. But again, not playing to win, playing not to lose. And I think the coaching staff felt I hate to blame the coaching staff. I do, because we talk about they're not out there blocking or kicking or tackling. It's the players. But I got to tell you, they do have to manage the clock. They are required to do something, and they didn't do a very good job of that. And again, if you go back and you look, and I don't want to make comparisons, but they're there. They're blatant, yes. And they're right. That's, you know, Coach London did the same things.
Yes.
Yeah, we're visiting with former Virginia running back Antonio Rice. Antonio, this is Hobbo. You know, I think you go back to the beginning of the George Welsh era. Talk a little bit about the when you're coming in and you're playing under a new coach and the coach is trying to maybe turn around the fortunes of the program.
Well, you know, for George, it was easy, I think. That's not fair to say. I mean, there were some great leaders on that team that kind of helped that process. We bought in very early into what he was selling. And so you have a new coach that comes in. There are some guys that just don't fit into the system, or they either don't want to, or they're in resistance to it. That system will chew you up and spit you out. And then, you know, you got to have the right guys out there all believing, all pulling in the same direction. And if you're not about doing that, then, hey, we're not going to take your scholarship from you, but you're not helping us out here anymore. a quick story, we were, you know, as true freshmen, I'm sitting in the locker, or first year, I should say, sitting in the locker room, the equipment guy comes in and he puts the schedule up. And then some of the older guys stand up and they start going down our schedule. It's like, oh gosh, we got Maryland at Maryland. We've never beaten them. We're going to lose that game. We've never beaten Clemson. We're going to lose that game. Oh, we might beat JMU. And I was in shock. I'm like, dude, we haven't even played yet and we've lost three or four games already. And so there was a mentality about that. Those early Virginia teams, you know, when George came in, was not accustomed or knew how to win. And so now, you know, going forward, as you know, you buy into what George is selling and you believed in him and you believed in each other. And sometimes we had to circle the wagons because everybody was against us. And George did a good job of protecting that and creating that. And then he taught us how to win. He taught us how to win, and that wasn't easy. And then, because when you learn how to win through that, you get tough. And then that's when you get the, and I don't want to use a whole lot of slang, but that's when you get the dog in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it takes.
We should remind our listeners that Antonio also performs other duties in addition to a new job that he started this year with the Salvation Army up there in Charlottesville, which I'm very impressed with Antonio's commitment there. He also handles pregame duties on WINA with Jay James and Ahmad Hawkins and Ty Lewis. So, you know, he's constantly analyzing this team. Antonio, looking at the roster today, you know, they're 0-3. They've had some tough luck. I mean, who knew that the starting field goal kicker, Dylan Sims, had a groin injury?
Yeah.
Thus opened up this situation where a former soccer player from Randolph-Macon walks on to try to kick field goals. I mean, heck, he's wearing number 84, which the last time I looked, there's never been a famous field goal kicker wearing the number 84.
Well, but maybe he thought he could get open. You know, maybe it could have been
a wide receiver.
A trick play, throw it to the kicker.
But what are you seeing out of Ben Kurt, the new quarterback that you like? And where does he need to improve? Because he had a dreadful second half.
He had a terrible second half. I think he's better when he allows the game to come to him versus forcing throws, throwing in tight windows. He has the tendency of locking on to a receiver and not really go through his progressions because there were a bunch of people open. He just was locked on. And so, and again, he's trying to make something happen. He's trying to help his team. I do like his leadership. The kid, he can make all the throws. Fellas, he's the real deal. He can make all the throws. Especially with time. And so with Banker, sometimes, though, he kind of throws off his back foot and it sails on him. He needs to really step into the throw.
Yep.
And that's when he's really, really effective. And so, you know, I've always kind of been a Matt Johns fan.
Yep.
And but I will have to say that Banker most certainly has lived up to that starting role, I would say. I think the team believes in him. I would really like to see him run more.
Yep.
That's part of why he's got the spot, right? That's part of all BYU quarterback can run or use their legs to extend the plays. And so that's where there's some areas I think that he can improve.
Well, you know, it's interesting. He hurt his shoulder on that sack in the game, and he was not very effective for about a quarter and a half. Why they didn't bring in Johns or Brewer at that point sort of blew my mind because it was clear that he was favoring that shoulder. Other than that, Donnie Dowling is playing with a lot of heart. You know, the best receiver in theory with the best size and so forth hasn't been able to do his thing because he's coming off a twisted knee, and that's Andre Lavroni.
Yeah.
He had a catch denied during game play, but then the replay booth gave him the catch later, I think. Keon Johnson, the guy that had such a hot start a couple of years ago and then has vanished for a couple of years, he makes what really was a tremendous catch to get them down there in the red zone and give them the chance to win the game or tie the game and force overtime. Yet they didn't throw him the ball again. You know, once they get down there in the red zone.
So that's a frustrating, questionable piece as well. I mean, he's a great target. You know, if you got to think about a big play receiver, a big, tall receiver, you might want to come back to him, especially after he make a play like that, make a catch like that. And so, it's hard to put your finger on why you go away from a guy that really could, he most certainly could stretch the defense. He can make all the catches, make the tough ones. He can go up and make those tough catches. So, I guess it's easier for us to sit back here and say these things and make these analyses. But I think I share your frustration. A lot of in Wahoo Nation, we're a little bit frustrated, and we let one get away. Let one get away.
Yeah, you'd like to have seen them at least kick that ball through in real time, force the overtime and then see what can happen.
Right, right. Well, Antonio, we're all a little frustrated, and I know you are as a former member of the Virginia football family, but we're optimistic that better days are ahead, and we'll certainly have you back on maybe before too long when we have different, more positive results. But thanks for your time this evening.
Thank you guys very much. I always enjoy talking with you.
Thank you, Antonio.
Antonio Rice, when we come back after these messages, we got Dr. Boyd Rawls from Ortho Virginia to join us with the Ortho Injury Update. Stay tuned. You're listening to Who's Talking.